I'm glad there's somebody around here that knows what to do with a computer. All right. So this word is titled, "The Mightiest Oak in the Forest is Just a Small Little Nut That Held Its Ground." That's what we are when we start. We're just a small little nut. And everybody says, "What happened to you? What is this thing about Jesus?" And then God starts rebuilding us to where we become mighty oaks. We all need to emanate a nut so people around us know that we're different. Exodus 19, 1-5. "On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. And they set out for Rephidim, and they entered the desert of Sinai in Israel, and camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. And then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession.'" Isn't that something? Don't you want to be a treasured possession of the Savior? Somebody he values so highly. He's called us to be a peculiar people. People around us will look at us and think we're peculiar and weird. I've never forgotten the first time I got called a Jesus freak. Right out of high school. I got saved a week after high school. And people called me a Jesus freak because at that moment it was the Jesus movement back in the 70s. And the Holy Spirit was being poured out heavy. In Titus chapter 2, 11-15, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority." It's saying all of us encourage, teach, and rebuke. And don't let anybody despise you. I think that's interesting, this statement to say, don't let anybody despise you. It's basically saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't do things, say things, and then act in a different manner. because then people will despise you. They won't respect you for your walk, for your faith. Think along the way as you're developing your rings, as your tree is getting bigger and bigger and stronger, and your branches are getting stronger and stronger. And the amount of people that are watching as you grow, as you change. Yeah, we're all being watched. Because we tell people we're changed people, and they're looking for an excuse not to change. So they watch us. And we're supposed to become those peculiar people. 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans. Because there are people that are going to reject us. I had two of my best friends that I haven't talked to in 50 years because I got saved. And they wouldn't be my friends any longer. You have to make a choice. I lost my spot. Praise God for thunder. I hope you all appreciate the rain. I love it. I'll back up to here. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So all the things that are going on in your life are being used to rebuild you into a spiritual house. To be a priesthood, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. But now to you who believe that this stone is precious, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have received mercy, and now you have received. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So to the world, we should look like a nut. We really should. I can't remember the people that back in college. In the 70s, it was a pretty wild time to be in college. We were all protesting Vietnam. Everybody was protesting something. I was a blessed person because I was number one on the draft. So on my birthday, I was going to Vietnam. And I went for a physical and I had a broken wrist since I was a child. And the government chose to send me to vocational rehabilitation. And they carved bone off my hip and they rebuilt my wrist. And since I had only been a Christian a couple weeks when I got my draft notice. And instead, the government gave me a college scholarship and sent me to college to educate me. So instead of being sent to Vietnam when I got drafted, I got sent to college. Because God had a different purpose for my life. And he's got a different purpose for all of us, with that end goal that we're going to be that mighty tree that doesn't bend in the wind. Well, the good thing about a nut is that it's always hard on the outside, but it's always tender and full of pleasing flavor on the inside. And it's only hard to protect what's on the inside. We should all have a conviction from the Holy Spirit and not want to get compromised. I personally have been told many times that I'm opinionated when I hold hard on not compromising. But I really truly believe it's how we love that softens the hardness. And I tend to be a little hard because over the years, I've discipled so many different people. And even the people that partnered with me to start this church, and I've said this before, but they're not walking with God. Maybe I wasn't hard enough, or maybe it just was God's will. I'll never know. But I hate to see people fall and go back when they were on such a beautiful path. But as Christians, we have to stay tender on the inside and firm on the outside so the enemy can't make us compromise. Like the song Pass It On, we are the sparks in this world, and we're being watched. If we get bitter, angry, or full of unforgiveness, we will start to harden on the inside and start to lose our spark. So we have to be careful to always be forgiving. The only one that qualifies as a judge in this world is God. And God's the only one that knows the trials that each one of us individually are going to go through. In Job, it says, "You who tear yourself to pieces in your anger, is the earth to be abandoned for your sake?" In other words, must rocks be moved from their place? We are not supposed to have anger. We need to find a way to walk free of anger. Anyway, I'm going to skip over the rest of the verses. They don't seem to fit this morning, so they're not going to get talked about. Well, maybe I should talk about it. The lamp of a wicked man is snuffed out. The flame of his fire will stop burning. The light in his tent becomes dark, and a lamp beside him goes out. The vigor of his step is weakened. His own schemes have thrown him down. His feet thrust him into a net, and he wanders into its mesh. A trap seizes him by the heel. A snare holds him fast. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap lays in his path. Terrors startle him on every side, and dog his every step. Calamity is hungry for him, and disaster is ready for him when he falls. And it goes on and gets worse. The key, the answer to this is, how is your spark? How is your enthusiasm for Jesus and for the things that he's asked you to do? We all in our lives have things we want to do, but a lot of times we have to sacrifice what we want to do what he wants. He's placed people all around us. And sometimes you're going to have to give up what you want so you can minister to somebody else. There's no such thing as in our lives that when it comes to God, whether it's convenient time or not, when it comes to God, it's just, it's God, whether it's convenient or not. We put God first. Yes, and he wants us to be honest with ourselves, reevaluating ourselves about where we are in our walk. It's a long walk. A lot of you are starting young, just like I started young. And to become that great, mighty oak is a long walk. It's a lot of decisions. That's a lot of choices. But we must never lose our spark. Everything we do must be about Jesus. First John. First John's gone from my Bible. First John 2:27. But back up to verse 24. As for you, Paul's instructing, as for you, see that you have heard from the beginning. What you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received, and I hope that everyone in this room realizes that when you received Jesus Christ and you were filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, because he lives inside of you, that you carry an anointing. You are powerful people. And God wants to use your anointing. I've watched Dave and Chris over the years And literally, I've watched them grow up and watched the anointing increase and increase and increase, where God uses them more and more and more. He wants to do that in all our lives. He wants us to become that mighty oak tree that stands strong. And when people see us, they go, oh, gosh, that's that guy. You got to avoid him. You know, he's going to talk to you about Jesus. The anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anybody to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, it's not a counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. See, everyone in this room could study their Bible and come up and teach. We all share the same anointing. We all share the same authority. And some of us, we haven't learned yet what God has for us to do. But everyone in this room is powerful. Everyone in this room can affect a change in this world. If we just continue to stay focused on who we are. Does not that scripture say we each have all we need to set our families, friends, neighbors, and strangers we meet on fire from God, for God? Yes, that's what the scripture says. And true, we need fellowship because we strengthen each other. And discipling because we're learning what the Bible says and how to handle the different situations that are new to us. But each one of us has our own individual anointing. We each have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we all have someone in our circle that's not saved, that's watching. Yes, you're being watched. Your testimony is yours, and it's personal, just as mine is mine. And don't discount how powerful your testimony is. And the more you practice sharing your testimony, the more comfortable you're going to get sharing your testimony about what God's doing in your life and how he's changed things. I've seen miracles in my life because I wanted to see miracles. And I wanted to be a part of miracles. And I still want to see more miracles. Matthew 5:13. This is to everyone in the room. You are the salt of this earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? This is the warning that we never turn back. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. But you are the light of this world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What he's saying is, don't let life pull you down. Jenny and I were saved several years before we got married. And the only part of life that pulled me down was the middle of the night diapers. Boy, that was tough. Trying to go to work the next day after taking care of a baby in the middle of the night. But we can't let what our eyes see and our ears hear affect us. The enemy is always alive. He's always watching. He's always waiting to set a snare, to set a trap, wanting us to step into it so he can mess us up and get us on the wrong path and bring confusion into our life. He is alive and well. But God is more alive and more powerful, and he will win in the end, which means we will win. The most important statement I can make, though, is that if you are saved, you are powerful. People will praise God when they see you let your light shine out. And lives will be changed because of you. It's a good reason why not to be a victim of life, but an overcomer. Because we know the future, and we know we're going to win the battle. If you feel like you're tired or getting battle weary, then take off the yoke. All we have to do is put our focus back on Jesus, and everything will be back to normal. We're the ones that put the yoke on us. We do it to ourselves when we allow fear, disappointment into our life. Jesus says, come to me, and all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Doing what Jesus wants us to do is easier than fighting the battles of this world. I've seen so many miracles over the years, how God has made provisions for people, the miraculous healings, the financial blessings. When we put on his yoke and don't fight the battles that we can't win, just do what he has for us to do. He fights for us, and he uses us to change people and help people with their circumstances. Something I've learned over the years is that individually, separated from God, we can't change people. We can't change parents, brothers or sisters, or our children. But he can. He can. We just had the 4th of July, and I had my brother and sister, nieces and nephews, and we're all having a conversation, and it struck me that every one of us in there was talking about something that God was doing. And it was like, what more can you ask than to know and see that your entire family is walking with Christ? And nieces and nephews are starting to walk with Christ. There's one or two out there that are half in and half out. But you know, I don't have to worry about that because God's going to bring them in the rest of the way. It just absolutely makes perfect sense to make Jesus the center of our lives. And when we do, that's when we spark the best. Because His Holy Spirit's dwelling in us. And He's going to work through us. Again, it's not us that causes another person to get saved or turn from doing the wrong things. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We just carry Him into the middle of the battle and let Him do His job and let Him win. When Jesus first sent out the 12 disciples with all the authority to heal the sick, cast out demons, and save the lost, and then He sent out another 72, and now He's sending out millions around the world that have found Him because of people like us. They share our faith, and they find Him. And so there's an army of millions around the world that are sharing their faith to lead people to Jesus. In Matthew 17:6, I'm going to back up to 5. While He was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." They had been kind of arguing with Jesus just a little bit. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," He said, "and don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." See, why do I have this scripture? I guess it goes on to say that there's absolutely nothing that we can't do if we just learn to obey Him and do what His word says. But we need to be like the oak tree and stand firm and not bend. I'm going to read now a fable of the eagle and the chicken. Has anybody ever heard the story about the eagle and the chicken? A fable is told about an eagle that thought he was a chicken. When the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety of his nest. A chicken farmer found the eagle, brought him to the farm, and raised him in a chicken coop, along with his many chickens. The eagle grew up doing what chickens do, living like a chicken and believing he was a chicken. A naturalist came to the chicken farm to see what he had heard about an eagle acting like a chicken, if it was really true. He knew that an eagle is a king of the sky. He was surprised to see the eagle strutting around the chicken coop, pecking at the ground, acting very much like a chicken. The farmer explained to the naturalist that this bird was no longer an eagle. He was now a chicken, because he had been trained to be a chicken, and he believed that he was a chicken. The naturalist knew there was more to this great bird than his actions showed as he pretended to be a chicken. He was born an eagle and had the heart of an eagle, and nothing could change that. So the man lifted up the eagle onto the fence surrounding the chicken coop and said, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The eagle moved slightly, only to stare at the man. Then he glanced back down at his home among the chickens in the chicken coop where he was comfortable. He jumped off the fence and continued to do what chickens do. The farmer was satisfied. "I told you, it's a chicken." The naturalist returned the next day and tried again to convince the farmer and the eagle that the eagle was born for something greater. He took an eagle to the top of the farmhouse and spoke to him. "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The large bird looked at the man and then again down into the chicken coop. He jumped from the man's arm onto the roof of the farmhouse. Knowing what eagles are really about, the naturalist asked the farmer to let him try one more time, and he would return the next day and prove that this bird was an eagle. The farmer convinced him otherwise. Said, "It is a chicken." The naturalist returned the next morning to the chicken farm and took the eagle and the farmer some distance away to the foot of a high mountain. They could not see the farm nor the chicken coop from this new setting. The man held the eagle on his arm and pointed high into the sky where the bright sun was beckoning above, and he spoke, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not the earth. Stretch forth thy wing and fly." This time the eagle stared skyward into the bright sun, straightened his large body, stretched out his massive wings. His wings moved slowly at first, and then surely and powerfully, with the mighty screech of an eagle, he flew. Folks, we're eagles. We're eagles. We never need to see something and think that we can't do it, or we're weak. I can't pray for the sick. I can't do a miracle. We're eagles. God's word says he's given us everything. We're all powerful. Lord, I just thank you for your words. In Jesus' name, amen.